Dave Moore on Today FM.
Max Starks, welcome to Ireland. Check out what I've got on me. I'm representing Steelers right here.
I like it. You're already in the Steelers spirit, but of course, I need to see in the future, by the next time I see you, I need to see you with a terrible towel.
Well, here's the thing. I spoke to Brett Keisel, right, the beard,
yes,
about this. And I explained to him that I had found this terrible, disgusting, God knows what it was used for, wet towel on the floor of my twin daughter's bedrooms. Okay, you can imagine what that's gone through, right? And yes, it was yellow. And when he came on, I was waiting. He was like, "Woo!" He goes, "Man, don't mind." He goes, "I'm gonna send you a real one." And he was supposed to send me a terrible towel. He never did it.
Oh.
You can't rely on the beard.
I gotta get on Diesel about that, man. He's usually a man of his word, but we will have to make sure, because you're around here somewhere.
I'm very close. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a terrible towel on my couch over there.
Right.
If we can meet up, I will hand deliver you a terrible towel.
Yes, Max Starks, I would be honored to take one, pry it from your grasp, and swing it in Crow Park at the weekend, because this is going to be an incredible occasion. But talk to me about this terrible towel tour, because Brett did explain to my listeners, I'll refresh their brains very quickly, that you guys in the stadium, how many, 65,000 of you swirl these
That's
towels?
Right.
It's supposed to have magical powers, right?
It is. It is a thing of legend. And of course, being here in Ireland, you guys know a thing or two about legends, myths, and lore.
Yep.
So it is a legendary towel that was started back in 1975, and it's actually the 50th anniversary of the terrible towel this year.
Wow.
And so this is a rallying cry. This is a sense of pride. And this is, of course, at the heart and the root of Steeler fandom is the terrible towel.
Amazing. Amazing. And you've been on the terrible towel tour of Ireland. So how has it been going?
It has been fantastic. We started on Monday. We got back to Dublin. Our last event, or handoff, so to speak, was in Belfast. But we went to Kilkenny.
Yep.
We went to Killarney. We went to Clare for the Cliffs of Moher. We went to Gort. We went to Galway City. We went to Limerick. We went to Sligo at Strandhill Beach. We went to Derry. And then, of course, Belfast. So, I mean, 8 counties in 4 days, and we passed out over 700 towels.
Well, do you know that there are people who live in Ireland who have not been to all of those 8 counties, and you did it in 4 days? So that's very impressive. Actually, is it true you met a guy from an American guy who traveled over, a Steelers fan, who got his first passport and left the country for the first time to come to this game?
Yeah, he got his passport 2 weeks ago.
Oh, this is
specifically
incredible.
To show up in Ireland for this game. Oh. He's like, "I don't even have tickets yet." He's like, "I'm probably going to scalp them, but I needed to be here, and I got my passport." And he's like yelling at me on the Cliffs of Moher, like up on top by the tower, as I'm like kind of walking down away from it.
Yeah.
And he's yelling my name, trying to catch my attention. So yeah, it's been fantastic.
Isn't that an amazing thing, though, that, like, you know, this person who has never chosen or never had the opportunity, there's never been a reason for this person to leave the United States, and then decides the first time is going to be because an NFL game is coming to Dublin, it's coming to Crow Park. This is historic.
It is a historic moment, and that just kind of, I think, is like the microcosm of what you think about American football is, and its engagement, not only for us Americans, but when you're introducing it around the world to different countries, as, you know, we get to now activate Ireland, even though there's a rich sporting tradition here in this country. So trying to bring now another sport to this country that fans can be excited about, that fans can engage in. Dan Rooney had a flag football clinic up in Belfast, and, you know, it's a part of the NFL's ongoing commitment to Ireland to bring flag football to every school age kid and to all the schools there. NFL flag can now be accessible at all primary schools.
That's so incredible. You mentioned Ireland's our rich kind of history of sport, and it's such an important part of our culture. But you tried rugby, not an Irish sport specifically, but we're very, very good at rugby. We were the world number one, and we might still be, have to check my rankings, but we're very close to the world number one rugby team. But you tried rugby with the Munster guys. How did you get on?
So I was still working on some of my left passing, but my right passing was pretty good.
Okay, nice.
And that's the thing. And they were like, "Oh, and then you have a guy running at you." I said, "Welcome to my world. That's all I live for." I was like, "That's nothing new." They're like, "But you don't have pads on." I said, "Do you think I need pads at this size?" I was like, "I saw the rest of the guys in there. I'm not fearful of another guy running into me." I was like, "I have the scars to prove it." But they were like, "Okay, you're a big tough man." Because they were kind of, I think, trying to indicate that I was a little soft because
Absolutely.
I had padding.
Pads and a
And
helmet.
then,
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
And then when they saw, they're like, "I see why guys need helmets, because of guys like you out there on the field." I was like, "Yeah, because I've definitely ended a couple of guys' seasons early. I'm sure faster than they want to. And thank goodness for the pads, because it could have been worse."
Absolutely. I'd say so. Is it true that as a kid, your feet were so big that Shaq had to give you shoes? Is that something I read in the internet? Is that true?
Correct, correct. So I grew up in Orlando, Florida. Shaq was drafted and played for the Orlando Magic
Yep.
for a long time. So I, funny enough, was a ball boy for the Orlando Magic.
Okay.
So I worked as a kid that worked on game days. I would, do whatever the team needed. And so I wrote him a letter, and I asked him, because I couldn't find shoes. I had a size 18 shoe.
Size 18 when you were a kid.
When I was a kid, yes, I think my foot grew to an 18 in 7th grade.
Oh
So
my. What, sorry, give us that in years. What year, what, how many years?
12 to 13 years
12,
old.
13, you were a size 18.
Yes. And
Wow.
so can't find those shoes back then. And so obviously, knowing Shaquille O'Neal has all these shoes, and
Yep.
Shaq, wear a pair of shoes one, two, three times and get rid of them. So I'm like, can I get some of your
Hit
leftover
me up.
shoes?
Yeah.
I'll put some cotton or some tissue paper in the toe of it to wear it, but I can't find any shoes my size. And he sent me a humongous box of, like, all this, when he was sponsored by Reebok, like,
Yes.
of all his shoes. And I got shoes from him, so I was able to look like the cool kid in school because I had some of Shaq's
You know what?
shoes.
There are so many stories of Shaq doing things like this. He really is. He's a wonderful guy. I've never had the chance to talk to him, but he really is incredible, in fairness. Max, have you been to Croke Park? You've been on a tour of Ireland, but have you actually been to the stadium?
I have not been in the stadium. I've only driven past the stadium.
Okay.
So that's one of the things I'm like, man. So I'm going to see it, I think, when a lot of first time NFL fans are going to see it on Sunday, because it goes on lockdown on
Of
Saturday
course.
before the game to make sure everything's secure for the game on Sunday. So I'm going to see it Sunday for the first time, and I cannot wait to experience it, knowing that rich history and tradition that's in Croke Park with Gaelic football, with hurling. And I'm just looking forward to this game being exposed for the first time, really in earnest, in a regular season competitive environment on Sunday.
I think that's the most important thing, because we've had college football here before plenty of times, and there's an amazing atmosphere. The whole city centre gets taken over, and the two camps are put in different parts of the city. It's amazing. But to get, as you said, not a friendly, not a pre-season or post-season game. This is mid-season competitive NFL. The results count. The scores matter. Like, this is an unbelievable opportunity for this tiny island on the edge of Europe. It's amazing.
It is amazing. But you think about, like you said, the rich tradition, the Rooney family's, connection, and their ancestral home being up in Newry,
Yep.
and their connection just throughout Irish history. I mean, you think about the late Ambassador Rooney serving as a U.S. ambassador here from 2009 through 2012, but also really instrumental in the peace process during the Troubles as
That's
well,
right.
working with John Hume. And so there's that connection and that sense of connection to Ireland, and of course starting the Ireland funds like they
Yeah.
did back in 1976, and that's still going on. They're still doing scholarships all around the island. So knowing that they have this connection, that the Steelers are connected to Ireland in such a way with his ownership and with just their family's heart and the Rooney name, it only made sense that if there was going to be a game in this island, the first team that would represent the NFL would be the Steelers. And what better way to do that than against the Minnesota Vikings, which, of course, we're not going to get into ancient history and Vikings coming
Yep.
over and all that kind of stuff, but it does have a good
Oh, it
symbolism there
does.
to it.
There's an awful lot of Viking and an awful lot of Irish people. I'll tell you that much. They made their mark when they arrived on our shores, that's for sure. Absolutely. Do you think the location of the game will affect it at all? Do you think the fact that this is a completely different environment for these players who are, I would imagine, when the game starts, they're so focused and everything, but it is different. The crowd will be different. The atmosphere will be different. The weather will be different. Things will feel different for these guys, no matter how focused they are.
Yeah, I think there will be an initial adjustment at the beginning because, you know, the turf is going to be different as well. The footing is going to be important. How that weather condition affects that. Now, we've had tremendous weather this
You've been
entire
so
week.
lucky.
Let me just say that. I don't want to jinx it, but if there is anything that's different, there will be an adjustment to that. And like you said, the crowd is not going to be just, you know, that we're taking away a home game in Pittsburgh to play this as the home team or host team. So you will be having just general NFL
Of
fans.
course.
You won't just have Steelers fans. So it'll be awkward when people are cheering and when they're not cheering. And so you'll have to get used to that kind of momentum shift because you know when you go into a normal away stadium, you know that they're going to be loud when our offense is on the field and then quiet when our defense is on the field. And vice versa, when you are at home, everybody's loud when the defense is out and they're quiet when the offense is out. So you're going to have kind of like this constant level of noise and ruckus permeating throughout the entire game. So that's going to be an adjustment, you know, just mentally trying to figure out where you're at. And you won't
Totally.
know if it's a good play or a bad play because fans will just be cheering for every play.
Yes,
So,
we will. Absolutely. Let me very quickly ask you about the Super Bowl. You won two of them. Incredible achievement. But what can you remember from those games and those days and the days leading up to and the days afterwards? I mean, is it a blur or were you laser focused? How were you?
I remember everything about it because I was taking everything in. Because, you know, one of the things, it was a childhood dream that I didn't even know could really be a dream. So it really was a fantasy, I would say. Because a dream you feel like is a little bit more attainable.
Maybe,
A
yeah.
fantasy is just off in this other place. And I just remember vividly, like I said, if I ever get there, I want to take in the moment. And so I got there, and there's significance to both of them for me. So the first one was played in Detroit and it was played against the Seahawks. But the significance of that game for me was I was born in 1982. My father played for the Cincinnati Bengals. They went to the Super Bowl in 1982. And where did he play his Super Bowl at?
Detroit.
Detroit. So to go to the same city, the only other time it was played in Detroit, know that my father played in the first one, I played in the second one. And in that game, he was the only guy to ever sack Joe Montana in a Super Bowl. And the four times that the 49ers went there. And we practiced in the Pontiac Silverdome, which was then the stadium. That was our practice facility. And I stood at the spot where my father sacked
Joe
Joe Montana. And I
Montana.
called him on the phone to tell him I was standing at the spot where he sacked his college
That
teammate.
is so incredible.
And yeah,
Wow.
and he lost it, and I won it,
You
so I
won
had a
it.
one up on my dad.
Nice. Always important.
Yes.
Tell me, the two halftime shows you had, if I'm right, were The Stones and Bruce Springsteen, right?
Correct. Yes.
Do you get any kind of sense of them being there? Do you pass them in the halls when you're walking in? Do you hear the show at halftime? Like, does any of that register?
It does not. It does not. I just remember we ran into the locker room and there's like in the tunnel, there's like these big stages being rolled out as we're running
Right.
in. So we didn't see any other performers because they were coming from different locations for each of them. So we never got to see them. And then by the time we come back on the field's cleared again, you know,
Totally.
because they had to get everything. So they're a well-oiled machine. So we didn't even know. I had to ask my mom and my wife, like, hey, how was the halftime
Halftime
concert?
show.
Because I missed it, you know.
Well, look, this weekend you're going to get Miles Smith at halftime, incredible artist, and you will get to experience this. And the national anthem will be sung by an amazing singer from Cork called Lyra. So please don't miss that. It's incredible, honestly. You'll love it.
I'll be in the stands because we don't have the indoor press box like American Stadium. So I'll be in the stands with my headset on watching the stadium. So I can't wait to see
Well, we
it.
can't wait to see it. We can't wait to experience this whole thing. The build-up has been amazing. Great to speak to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know how busy you've been this week, so I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, Max.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Dave Moore on Today FM.